live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time here on this Monday, September 17th, 2018. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. Before I move forward, I want to say happy birthday to my baby sister. Not a baby anymore, though, right? She's 14 years old. So happy birthday, Lori. Big bro loves you. Hope you have a great day, and hopefully you're not listening right now. You shouldn't be, because you should be in school. All right? Man, we got a lot to get to on today's current sports. I've really been chomping at the bit to get to this hour here on this Monday, because so much happened over the weekend. You know, this is that time of the year where, you know, you're getting the NFL, college football. I mean, heck, we even had boxing, one of the biggest boxing matches of the year, which I actually missed on Saturday night between Gennady Golovkin, better known as Triple G, and Canelo Alvarez, the highly anticipated rematch. That took place over the weekend as well. Just a really busy weekend and a lot to touch on. We'll talk about the Big Ten Conference in the world of college football, underwhelming the college football world. There were many upsets that have many people saying, frankly, the Big Ten sucks. The Big Ten is not that good. The Big Ten is garbage. I'll put that conversation in perspective, all right? Michigan State did not play this weekend, of course, seeing as though they have that early week three bye. So Michigan State will be in action this weekend at Indiana. That will be a night game. First time ever that Michigan State football has had three straight night games to begin the year. So not much to really dive into on the Michigan State football front, but we'll look at the conference as a whole and we'll pour through those upsets that occurred over the weekend. Also, I feel for you, Detroit Lions fans. They do it to you far too often, right? The Detroit Lions now have begun the season 0-2. It was a 30-27 final as the Lions were beaten on the road at the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. I must say, I was surprised that the final score only read as a 3-point dub for the 49ers, because if you look at the way that game started, you know, probably up until like the fourth quarter, the Lions were just non-existent. They were getting dominated, did not show any signs of life whatsoever. And I believe that there's a realistic chance now that the Lions, looking at this schedule, you know, it doesn't get easier from here on out. I mean, you play Tom Brady and the New England Patriots on national television this Sunday. Then you have to go on the road to play my Dallas Cowboys. We got a dub. We got a dub yesterday against the New York Giants, right? Watch that one on Sunday Night Football. Shout out to the star. Respect the star, folks. But you play the Dallas Cowboys after you play the New England Patriots. And then you have to come home and take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Which, by the way, we'll get to this whole tie discussion as well. Back-to-back weeks now in the NFL in which we have seen a tie. Never thought that I would ever see that in my lifetime of watching the National Football League. Of course, the week prior to, in week one, it was the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yesterday, we saw Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. That one ended in a tie. Crazy stuff. But, I mean, look at that schedule. Can the Lions steal a win out of those next three? I think they'll start 0-5. I just don't see an opportunity to win in those three games. But, hey, what do I know, right? Well, we'll dive into what the Lions did not do right. There were many areas in which they came so short in against the San Francisco 49ers. We'll dive into that, and we'll do all of that while, of course, taking all of your calls. 517-355-WKAR. No guest. We're just going to sound off on a very busy weekend in sports. I want to hear from you. If you have thoughts on the Lions loss, if you have thoughts on the horrible weekend that was Big Ten football, I want to hear from you. Again, 517-355-9527. You can go to facebook.com/WKAR News. We have our live stream up and running there. You can comment below that live stream, and I will read your comments live here on our airwaves. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, as I mentioned, a ton of upsets coming from the world of Big Ten football. Saturdays in September are often opportunities for conferences to really crow about how great they are while blasting FCS schools into submission or facing lower-tier FBS schools in the friendly confines of their home stadium. Week 3 was a weak one for the Big Ten as Maryland, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin all fell at home despite being double-digit favorites. The Badgers lost to BYU. That loss especially hurts as they were the West Division's lone-ranked team, a West Division led by a Wildcat team that owns a 1-2 overall record. The Cornhuskers, under first-year coach Scott Frost, dropped their second straight one-possession game and have the feel of a non-factor, something that has to be really torturing the faithful out in Lincoln, right? Now, with everything surrounding Maryland this summer, one could surmise that the Terps were due for a letdown. Thank goodness Ohio State and Penn State continue to steamroll all foes, but just not a great weekend in Big Ten football. Many down on the conference. We'll have chatter on that in just a moment. When it comes to the University of Michigan college football team, Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines handled business against SMU. It took Michigan football quite some time to get going, though, against an outmatched opponent. An entire half, in fact, against SMU. And the Wolverines' second-half performance was not without its flaws either. Michigan, though, still emerged with a 45-20 dub over SMU at the Big House. Quarterback Shea Patterson was efficient, completing 14 of 18 passes for 237 yards, 3 TDs, 1 INT. Sophomore receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones caught 4 passes for 90 yards and 3 touchdowns. Michigan will now host Scott Frost and his winless Nebraska Cornhuskers on Saturday. That will be a noon kickoff. With Ohio State's third game, a 40-28 win against TCU in Arlington, Texas, now in the books, head coach Urban Meyer has now officially completed his punishments handed down by the school following its investigation regarding Meyer's knowledge and handling of domestic abuse allegations against former wide receivers coach Zach Smith. Meyer addressed his return and the scandal that resulted in his 3-game suspension in a prepared statement, actually, this morning. Quote, "I should have done a better job, and I'll always regret that I didn't. My time away from the football program in August gave me a chance to reflect, and it gave me a chance to learn a great deal from these events. I want to be clear. I do not and never have and never will condone domestic violence," end quote. Meyer specifically cited regrets for a misstatement, that's what he called it, at Big Ten Media Days about allegations against Smith and his, quote, "failure to adequately manage a troubled employee," end quote, while reaffirming his commitment to the program's core values of treating women with respect. Also, I saw a bit of the Big Ten Network press conference with Urban Meyer.
just a minute ago, and, you know, he had a lot of reporters still asking him about what happened with the Zach Smith situation and about the suspension. And Meyer, again, just sticking to his guns, really just wanting to move on and talk about college football. All right, this is not a rush judgment made haphazardly 2 weeks into the season. This is a fact. The Detroit Lions are not a good football team right now. The Lions opened the season with their second straight loss yesterday, falling to the San Francisco 49ers at Levi Stadium, 30-27, your final. While the game was made close by two window dressing scores in the fourth quarter, Matthew Stafford's touchdown passes to Marvin Jones and Michael Roberts, the Lions were too careless when it counted, and it really cost them a winnable game. Matt Breida ran for 138 yards and a touchdown on just 11 carries for San Francisco. Stafford missed several open deep shots to his wide receivers. I counted four in that game, and the Lions were flagged for 10 costly penalties, including two huge ones in the final stanza. More on that loss for your Detroit Football Lions in just a moment. The Detroit Tigers, the Cleveland Indians, rested several of their regulars a day after clinching the American League Central and lost to the Detroit Tigers 6-4 yesterday at Jim Aducci homered and drove in a career-high four runs. Now, with the win, the Tigers took two out of three from the Tribe over the weekend, and they will next host the Minnesota Twins for a three-game set starting tonight. Jay Zim, Jordan Zimmerman will get the call for Detroit as that game will get underway, scheduled for a 7:10 p.m. first pitch. All right, week four local high school football scores. Hard to believe that come this week, we will be halfway now into the high school football season. Crazy, right? Week four, though, coming from Friday night, here's how a few of your local slate games panned out. Portland shut out Charlotte 27-0. DeWitt over Holt 49-7. Grand Ledge over Waverly 37-13. Just a lot of lopsided victories here. Hazlitt over Fowlerville 41-13. Lansing Catholic over Ionia 47-21. Okemos over Lansing Everett 28-8. Lansing Sexton over Eaton Rapids 50-0. I mean, none of these are close here. Mason over Lansing Eastern 41-19. East Lansing over Portage Northern 30-20. That may be the closest game there that I've read so far. St. John's over Williamston 34-20. Saranac over Bath 39-7. Dansville tops Powderville 46-12. Fowler over Langsburg 25-21. That was a barn burner. Pomona Westphalia just continues to roll. Jeremy Miller, he has that train just a humming right now. PW over Fulton 57-0. Olivet over Leslie 55-14. Lakewood over Perry 40-26. Maple Valley topping Stockbridge by 3 points, 53-50. Obed Elsie over Chesning 54-7. Lake Fenton tops Corunna 42-6. Alma over Standish Sterling 33-7. Ithaca over Pinconning 56-12. Swartz Creek over Owosso 42-7. Carson City Crystal beats Merrill 14-8. Portland St. Pat 43 over Weberville, who put up 30 points. And Morris over Lawrence 44-20. All right, Dwayne Wade will be back for his 16th NBA season. The 36-year-old announced his return to Miami Heat in a video entitled One Last Dance. Only once in his career has he not put on a Heat uniform during the season. Wade, of course, had a South Beach homecoming last season. After his time with the Cleveland Cavaliers did not go as planned, for the first time in his career, he accepted a bench role, wound up averaging a little over 11 points per game, 3.4 assists, 3.8 rebounds in about 23 minutes of play average between the two teams. Now, he showed he has something left in the tank, averaging 16.6 points, 3.6 assists, and 4 rebounds during the playoffs. And this was a big fight. Everybody was into his house for this one. I saw Will Smith was there, Denzel Washington. I mean, I could go on and on and on with the celebrities that were in the house witnessing Saul Canelo Alvarez winning by a majority decision over Gennady Golovkin, better known as Triple G, in that rematch on Saturday as Alvarez becomes the unified middleweight champion, including the WBA Super, WBC IBO, and the Ring Magazine belts. All his now. It was a very close bout, but like the first one, many thought Triple G clearly won. Judge Dave Moretti scored it 115 to 113 for Alvarez. Judge Glenn Feldman scored it 114-114 in a draw. And Judge Steve Weisfield scored it 115-113 for Alvarez, resulting in that majority decision. Many weighing in on social media, not pleased with that outcome. I saw actually my former engineer, Isaac Constance. He watched the fight from start to finish, going on this entire rant on his Twitter page, saying how political the outcome was and, you know, how the only reason this was a win for Canelo Alvarez was because they wanted to see, of course, the third bout between the two. The first two fights have clearly been very entertaining. So it's all about money and politics and so on and so forth. Many weighing in on that. Also, former production assistant and MSU linebacker, my man Darian Harris, also had some strong thoughts on his Twitter page about that fight. I have not watched it just yet. I plan on watching the replay sometime this week and checking it out. Unlike me, to miss a fight, without a doubt. You guys know I'm a boxing fanatic, but I was in NYC, which I'll tell more about later on this hour, all right? Ben Roethlisberger just passed one of his childhood idols in the NFL's record books. Yesterday, Big Ben passed Hall of Fame quarterback John Elway for seventh all-time in career passing yards. Roethlisberger eclipsed Elway's 51,475 yards during Pittsburgh's home opener against the Kansas City Chiefs. Wanted to note that as well. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. A lot to get to. Let's get right to it.
When they couldn't get across the 50-yard line against LSU, and then watching the tape of their game against Wisconsin last year, could you have imagined 12 months later you'd see a BYU team that could go out and physically match up for 60 full minutes?
Inside Ty Johnson working his way to the sideline, and the clock will run out here at College Park. So the Temple Owls come into College Park with the win.
Bunch, well protected, throws high, it's intercepted, it is picked off by Will Sunderland, after the big play to Damian Willis.
Stafford, wide open in the end zone, and going up to get it, making his first catch today, the tight end Michael Roberts, and don't look now with 3:27 to go. A point after away from this being a three-point game. 3:22 left, and the Lions have all three timeouts remaining. Play action down the middle, and a catch made by Garcon for a first down.
Holy, defense number 28.
That is against Quandre Diggs, taking away the interception.
Playing a great turnaround. You know, no matter how this game turns out, right there is a hold by Diggs on Kittle, and it was clear.
Gennady Golovkin, you lose your first fight as a pro. What is the feeling right now?
You know, just, first of all, just congrats Canelo. Today he's going back to home like a champion. I think he feel different options. I feel it's good because, you know, my inside, I feel I'm champion.
weekend, right? What a wild weekend in the world of sports. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Monday to you all. We got a lot to get to. A lot we are going to try and cram in discussion-wise as we have about 40 minutes left here in the show. And you heard just snippets from some of the biggest moments of the weekend. You heard a few of the calls from upsets around the Big Ten college football world. You also heard highlights or lowlights from the Detroit Lions and San Francisco 49ers game as the Lions now have begun the season 0-2. And you also heard from Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, being interviewed by ESPN right after his loss to Saul Canelo Alvarez in the highly anticipated rematch. We'll probably see a third fight between those two fighters. Crazy weekend, right? And, you know, I'm just getting back from New York City. Decided to book a flight on Friday and headed out there for the weekend. Had a pretty good time. And as you hear in the background, an instrumental from the great Childish Gambino, or Donald Glover, however you want to call him. He's fantastic. I got a chance to see him in concert on Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. And really weird, though. You know, Jack Kerwin, you're a pretty big music enthusiast. Ray Shrummer? How do you even say that? Shrummer? Shrummer? Ray Shrummer.
Shrummer, yeah.
Shrummer. I hate that.
It's eardrummers spelled backwards.
It is. It's so stupid. I'm not a big fan of them. Not a big fan. But they opened up for Childish Gambino, which is so random. Because they're like two different genres of hip-hop, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But they came out. They did their thing. And by the way, Madison Square Garden is the mecca of basketball. It's an unreal venue. If you have not been, you got to go. And then Childish came out and put on one of, if not the best hip-hop concert I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen some pretty good ones. Some pretty good ones. I always say Lupe Fiasco, when he came to Michigan State at the auditorium when I was a freshman here, that is in my top five. That's always been number one for me. Drake, when he came to Michigan State as well, is up there. Drake killed it. But what Childish Gambino did on Saturday, it's the, you know, what is he dubbing this tour? I forget the name of the tour. What's that, the most popular song that he has? This Is America. This is the This Is America tour. That song is taking off now, and he calls it the This Is America tour. Amazing. It was like a mix between, like, Prince, James Brown, Lupe, Nas, all in one. It was unreal. And also, I got the chance to visit the 9/11 memorial out there. Got a chance to finally actually go in. I've seen it from the outside in and seen pictures online, but I got a chance to finally just go in and wow. I got goosebumps, got a bit of emotional, you know, just walking through. I mean, for those who have been, you know what I'm talking about. Those who haven't been, you have to go. Because, again, as we noted on last week's Current Sports, it marked, you know, 17 years to the day, 17 years to the day that the Twin Towers were attacked. And I got the chance to finally go and check out that memorial, spent about 5 hours in there. And not going to lie, I shed a few tears in there. I mean, they have actual, you know, I don't even know what you want to dub them. Artifacts from that day. They've got phone calls from, you know, last phone calls from those who understood that they were their plane was being hijacked and they wanted to leave a goodbye message to their families. I mean, it, just very emotional stuff. Fire trucks that were damaged and preserved for that museum. Pieces of the building. They have the one, can you believe this? The one undamaged window from the Twin Towers encased in glass. It's like on like the 83rd floor. Just you talk about emotion, folks. So, yeah, that's how my weekend was spent. I came back on a flight this morning around 6 a.m. and we're ready to get at it. So I want to start here. College football. The Big Ten put on a historically bad performance. And now it has the nation just kind of looking at the Big Ten Conference in the grand scheme of things of a possible Big Ten team making the college football playoff. I mean, it, you know, then you had this chatter of, oh, the Big Ten could possibly have two teams that will be a part of that Final Four in the college football playoff. And now that perception has changed in the eyes of many. I mean, we saw Nebraska lose to Troy, becoming the second Power 5 team in 2 years to do so. Maryland fell to Temple, which at least gave Texas some funny transitive losses, right? Also, that makes the conference's three newest members all dropping ugly, ugly games. Rutgers also lost to Kansas. Who watched that, right? I mean, that just makes your eyes bleed watching that game. Illinois lost to USF, though nothing about that, I'm sure, surprises you. Lovie Smith, I think, is just kind of melanin in at Illinois. That's just a bad situation from top to bottom. Northwestern lost to Akron following an all-time Pat Fitzgerald rant about how RPOs are the, quote, purest form of communism. Kid you not. That's what Pat Fitzgerald said. So Northwestern loses to Akron. The league was also on the losing end of the biggest upset of the year so far. A 23.5-point underdog, BYU's triumph over Wisconsin at Camp Randall. Just horrible. You heard the final call of that game and that introduction there. Shocking. Shocking. And 2017 upstart, Purdue, lost to Mizzou by a field goal, falling 3-0. How about that? So, you know, when you just look at all of those upsets in the Big Ten Conference, the Big Ten losing 7 non-conference games against unranked opponents on Saturday, that is pretty historical. Because when you put that into context, that's the conference's most such losses in a single day since the Associated Press poll made its debut all the way back in 1936. Wow, at least Ohio State beat TCU. I don't know, right? I mean, my goodness. Now, the Big Ten's best team still has not lost any games. When you look at the Big Ten, it's Ohio State and then just everybody else. Let's keep it real here. I know Michigan State fans don't want to hear that, and I'm pretty sure some Michigan fans out there that are listening that are still holding on to hope that this season is going to be a special one for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines, despite the loss to Notre Dame at the beginning of the year. Let's keep it all the way real. It's Ohio State and then a bunch of teams. Playoff hopes remain intact for the Big Ten because of Ohio State. I am not convinced that the Big Ten is now going to have, you know, still going to have, in the eyes of some out there, at least two teams that can have the chance to make a college football playoff appearance. That just went out the window. That's what the college football playoff, you know, that's what makes it so intriguing. When you talk about the college football playoff, you know, we had this debate during the summertime, you know, whether or not we've had this debate numerous times here on the show, right? Should the playoff be expanded? I fall, you know, in the point of view that I think it should, but what allows tremendous intrigue in the sport of college football is the elitism that just having four teams in allows a week-to-week drama to unfold. Every single week, we're sitting there, and again, is this healthy or not? Debatable. But it allows us, and I should say not allows, it transforms us into these balls of emotion where we're sitting there going crazy every single Sunday morning and into that following week about what happened on Saturday, because every week now becomes a playoff implication week, depending on what happens or what doesn't happen with your said team. College football isn't complaining that they are on the lips of many for that very reason. And, you know, and that's why I hear certain arguments about, wow, you know, why we should keep it at four teams. Because there's something that, you know, that's special about you having a debate at the water cooler at work on a Monday when you return about what happened and how your playoff hopes just went up or just completely got shattered based on what happened on Saturday. It's kind of cool if you ask me. However, you know, what do you play for? If you are a team whose dreams just got shattered on Saturday, what are you playing for now? It does, for those who are on the short end of that stick, it does kind of just bash your hopes. It really does. Now, you know, this whole opinion about the Big Ten being horrible, I want to get the thoughts of my two guys behind the glass for today's show, Jack Kerwin as well as Alec Rio, who I'm sure watched a lot of college football and a lot of NFL football over the weekend. We'll get to the NFL in just a moment, but I want to get your guys' thoughts on this whole notion that the Big Ten is horrible. Because when you look at the big picture here, guys, I mean, you know, and you know, you call these conferences, you know, like one-trick ponies, right? That's what I call them, at least, right? I mean, in the Big Ten, it's clearly Ohio State. You know, you can look at other conferences out there, you know, Clemson holding down the ACC, right? I think it's just Clemson and then just everybody else, right? So you can look at a lot of conferences and draw that same conclusion, right? If you look at the ACC and you look at upsets, in the ACC, Florida State just lost at Syracuse, 30-7. North Carolina lost his last game at home to East Carolina. That was a 41-19 final. The Tar Heels were 17-point favorites in that, double-digit favorites in that game. So the Big Ten wasn't the only conference that had bad upsets here. In the Pac-12, UCLA, what is going on out in Los Angeles with UCLA? You know, Chip Kelly, what's up with Chip, man? UCLA already has home losses to Cincinnati and Fresno State. Arizona fell at Houston by 27 points. USC may not make a bowl game. And I tell you what, Fox really tried to hype up that USC and Texas game, didn't they? I don't know if you guys saw the preview leading up to that game, but, you know, oh, the first match, Reggie Bush, Vince Young was historic. The rematch was even more dramatic and better. You don't want to miss the trilogy. Ho-hum. Ho-hum. All right? Just two bad teams. Texas and USC. I mean, come on now. USC looks really bad. The Big 12, off to a solid start. SEC is the SEC. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Auburn. And by the way, how about LSU and Auburn, right? I mean, LSU with that stunning upset against Auburn. And I kind of had a feeling that LSU was going to make that one interesting and possibly knock off Auburn. So when you look at the upsets other than the Big Ten that happened also this past weekend, and you put those in perspective in relation to the Big Ten, do you think it's an overreaction to say that Big Ten football, with what happened on Saturday, is absolutely horrible? Jack?
Well, yeah, I think horrible is a little bit hyperbolic, but I mean, you consider the context going into this college football season, and the Big Ten received a lot of hype, and in my mind at the time, rightfully so. You know, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, you know, they all started in the top like 14, I think, to start the year, and that didn't seem out of place to me at all. But to your point, I mean, right now it feels like a big one, little 13, maybe a big two, little 12. You could make the argument with Penn State because they've looked really solid their last two games after kind of slipping up against Appy State. But no, I don't think the Big Ten's horrible, but certainly not what we thought it was going into this year. Absolutely not.
And, you know, you posed a question to me right now. Jack, can you just read off the top five teams right now in college football?
Absolutely. So Alabama's at the top. Georgia is number two. Clemson is number three. Ohio State is number four. And Oklahoma is number five. And what I said to you at the beginning of the show was, do you think any team outside that top five has a shot at making the playoff? And to me, it's hell no. Because, yeah. I mean, you look at LSU, and that was a huge win for LSU on Saturday. LSU still has to play Georgia and Alabama. In order to get to even the SEC championship game, they're going to have to beat Bama. And then in order to get to the playoff, in my mind, they're going to have to beat Georgia at least in the regular season, or they'd have to beat them in the SEC championship game when inevitably that rematch would happen. So they'd need to take two of those three games between Georgia and Alabama. So I don't see that. Notre Dame, you mm-hmm. props to you for calling that upset. Yeah, upset. You know, Vandy to cover. They didn't win. But
yeah, they cover. But
they
yeah.
look very mortal after their first great game against Michigan.
Yep.
Stanford, to me, is interesting. I love David Shaw, and I still think they're potentially, they could make some noise. I don't know if it's fair to rule them out right away. Mm-hmm. And West Virginia got a lot of hype going into this year, and they're still unbeaten in a pretty soft Big 12. So maybe it's fair to still talk about them. But
yeah.
No, to me, I mean, the top five right now, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, four of those teams are making the playoff in my mind.
I could see that. It's hard not to fathom that, you know, that any other team outside of that. I mean, again, there's some hope for a few out there. LSU, maybe, if, I don't know, it'll take a miracle. It'll take a miracle for LSU, even though they look great against Auburn, and they are rolling right now. They actually jumped up six spots in the AP poll, seven spots in the coaches poll, look, you know, right on the outside looking in at number six. But I don't see LSU at the end of the day, realistically, making the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
It's gonna take a miracle. And again, playing in, you know, in that tough conference that is the SEC. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, schedule's just not in their favor there. Sorry to cut you off.
Right.
I mean, it's not their year.
Exactly.
You know?
I agree. So, and you look at, you know, some of the teams that took the biggest fall. I mean, I mentioned that upset for Wisconsin. I mean, that upset dropped Wisconsin in the coaches poll down 10 spots, and in the Associated Press poll, that dropped Wisconsin 12 spots. So, yeah, I mean, there's no way now that Wisconsin, even if they, let's just say, if they won somehow the Big Ten, Jack, would you put Wisconsin in? That's the only way they get in.
It's the only way they get in.
And
you know what? That would involve them beating a number, right now, number 10 ranked Penn State team,
right,
and whoever comes out of the Big Ten
East.
Which
will be Ohio State.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it all the way real. So if they beat Ohio State, I mean, that sends, yeah, I think that the voters, and that's what makes,
mm-hmm,
you know, the beauty of the college football playoff system a thing to behold. You know, when you have voters sitting there in the room saying, okay, yeah, that was an ugly loss, but look at how they rebounded. And if you do knock off an Ohio State in Indy, that looks tremendously impressive. And how about this? Michigan State not even having a game on Saturday. An early week three bye. They actually move up a spot in both polls. Michigan State 23rd in the coaches poll, up from 24th last week. And from 25th to now 24th in the Associated Press poll. So how about that? How about that? Michigan State fans, you don't even play a game and you know, you're favorable in the polls. Alec, what do you think about the Big Ten after watching all of these upsets? Again, upsets of historical proportions. Again, those seven non-conference games against unranked opponents, the conference's most such losses in a single day since the AP poll debuted all the way back in 1936. What are your impressions now with the Big Ten Conference?
Well, with most of those teams, like, you kind of expected those losses to happen to the other conference teams.
What do you think? In what way? What do you mean? Like, I mean,
like,
nobody
Rutgers,
saw.
Like,
okay.
Rutgers, like, you definitely,
well, yeah,
saw that come in. To me, honestly, it's not something where we should all just be, like, freaking out about. Because, like, we do have 18th and 19th with Wisconsin, and we also got Michigan at 19th and then Michigan State at 24th. So it's not like saying, oh my God, we're absolutely atrocious as a conference. It's more so, it's just we, or not we, but like just the Big Ten altogether, like they could definitely be better, and it's not to what everybody saw coming. Mm-hmm. But that's why everyone is just freaking out about it, is because they expected Wisconsin to be within like the top 10. They expected U of M to maybe break top 12. And it's Michigan State. People were saying that this squad was definitely quietly one of Mark D'Antonio's best. And to have this slow of a start definitely adds into people like saying that the Big Ten is horrible, because they're just not meeting up to the expectations and all the hype.
Yeah, this was bad. This was a very bad weekend, and the whole notion that the Big Ten is going to get two teams in, or possibly has a, you know, a chance of getting two teams in a college football playoff, I think that's out the window without a doubt. And Ohio State is going to be that team now that will represent the Big Ten in the college football playoff, barring some craziness out in Indy, whoever they play coming out of the Big Ten West. And Urban Meyer's back now. Urban Meyer is back. You know, TCU made it interesting against Ohio State, but in the end, the Scarlet and Gray come out victorious, and they are sending a message to the rest of the conference that, yeah, we are that team. And, you know, Urban Meyer now returning, I again, it was a slap on the wrist. Let's just call it like it is. 3-game suspension. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he was still able to attend practice, you know, for those games with the exception of with the first game. That's it. You know, he returned in week two and still practiced with the team. He's still going over strategy with his coaches and his players. So Urban actually sat down with ESPN. I have not seen the interview, but it's pretty ho-hum from what I also read on Twitter from those who have seen it. Urban Meyer is just basically saying the same thing that he has always said. You know, I don't condone domestic violence. I wish I would have jumped on the whole Zach Smith thing a bit earlier. And I'm sorry for misspeaking at Big Ten Media Days. And he was riddled with questions at the podium about it yet again. So I am curious to see how Urban Meyer deals with this on the sidelines, because you better believe he's going to get a lot of boos wherever he goes. And, you know, he won't have to deal with that much that this weekend. Let's be real. I mean, Tulane comes to Ohio Stadium for that game. But when they travel to Penn State, I'm curious to see how that plays out with the Penn State fans and so on and so forth. But Urban Meyer is now back with his troops officially. And, you know, I mentioned UCLA and how bad things are out there with Chip Kelly. I'm actually seeing here, this story is on ESPN.com, being reported by Adam Rittenberg. The father of UCLA starting quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson is criticizing Chip Kelly in a series of tweets last night, writing that the Bruins coach is a, quote, million-dollar coach who bears no responsibility for the team's 0-3 start. There you have that. Things are really bad out in UCLA. And there's more tweets. Just go check it out on Twitter. Again, this is the father of starting quarterback for UCLA, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, very critical of Chip Kelly. All right, we want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What are your thoughts on the Big Ten Conference? Are we overreacting here? Was it just a bad weekend and we can move on from it? And the Big Ten is still going to be on the lips of many of having maybe two representatives in the Final Four. What are your thoughts on Ohio State and Urban Meyer coming back? We'll take your calls on that. Also, we hit our first break right now. When we come back, we will talk about your Detroit Lions and what transpired and what has transpired in the first 2 weeks of the National Football League regular season. The Lions, 0-2 after a loss to the San Francisco 49ers. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. That's so fitting. That's so fitting. Shout out to Curran Sports PA and engineer today, Jack Kerwin, for putting that together. Fitting song, right, for what has transpired in the preliminary stages of the Detroit Lions season thus far. The Lions are 0-2 to start the year. And I don't know where I start with this conversation. I don't know where to begin, because there are so many things that have gone wrong in these first two games for the Detroit Lions. I will say there were some minor improvements when looking at that New York Jets loss in comparison to the loss yesterday to San Francisco. But still, right now, this Detroit Lions team is not worth the price of admission. They just aren't. Matthew Stafford, he was 34 of 53, threw for 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, better numbers in comparison to that New York Jets game. But when you look at that game, numbers don't tell a whole story. When you look at that game, Matthew Stafford had 4 overthrows that I counted that could have went to the house, where a receiver had a step on his man and Matty Staff just could not connect. Overthrew the receiver twice with, who was it, Marvin Jones. Twice. That can't happen. Cannot happen. If, looking at a positive that you can bring out this game, possibly, you know, Kenny Golladay has been impressive. I'll say that. I mean, Kenny Golladay, if you have Kenny Golladay on your fantasy football roster, he's getting you some points. Kenny Golladay, he's got great hands. He's got great instincts, even away from the football. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to Kenny Golladay playing off the pigskin and his blocking ability. Heck, in week one against the New York Jets, I mean, Kenny Golladay put on a hit when it was, I believe it was intercepted, put on a hit on the guy who intercepted the football and grabs it back and recovers the fumble. It's just amazing. Kenny Golladay is showing some worth there. Yeah, he had 6 catches for 89 yards, 1 touchdown on 9 targets yesterday against the San Francisco 49ers. But, you know, I mentioned in the headliners, this team is just undisciplined right now. They really are. You know, 10 penalties. The Lions shot themselves in the foot far too often. This was a winnable game. Again, only a 30-27 final, but the Lions in that first half just looked so bad. And also in the third quarter, they didn't wake up until the fourth quarter when they scored 2 touchdowns, 14 points in the final stanza of that game, but too little, too late. Special teams doesn't look great. The defense doesn't look great. And by the way, Darius Slay is also in concussion protocol. Those who watched that game saw Darius Slay walk off the field into the locker room, and he was being treated for a concussion. So he's questionable right now. That's tough. Your best defensive player is done, at least right now. He's questionable. That's not great. 0-2. You know, I want to throw out a question to you guys, though. Jack and Alec are behind the glass. SI put together an interesting piece. And SI put together a piece on the 8 teams that are currently 0-2 to start the season. So the Lions aren't the only team here that are winless so far through two weeks of the NFL season. And they have split these 8 teams into just 2 categories here. Panicking and not panicking right now. So, real quick, I'm just going to throw out some teams here. The 8 teams that are winless so far, including the Detroit Lions. And I just want you guys to guess where you think they fall in that category. In the don't panic section or the panic section? So, Alec and Jack, we'll have some back and forth here. Houston Texans, do you think they're in the panic section or the don't panic section? Jack.
Well, of the 0-2 teams, I think that would be in the NFL, they would be the team I'd feel best about.
So you think they're in the don't panic?
But they're still 0-2. But yeah, I guess I'd say don't panic.
Alec, what about you? Don't panic or panic for the Texans?
I would kind of be panicking because I was expecting a much better record from the Texans. But that honestly, they'd be the least that I'd be worried about compared to all the other teams.
They're in don't panic. You're right. You nailed that. All right. New York Giants, real quick. Panic or don't panic? Jack?
I don't expect anything from the Giants this year, so that's tough. I'll say don't panic because they want a high draft pick to get a quarterback.
Alec?
I would definitely be panicking because they have no offensive line to protect Eli Manning, and I'm just hoping he makes it through this season.
All right, you're right, panic. So, Alec, you nailed that one. All right, Pittsburgh Steelers, panic or don't panic?
Panic. Big Ben's old.
What about you, Alec?
I would be panicking, but not so much because of Roethlisberger. He had a great game. He had 4 touchdowns, 1 rushing, and he was doing very good passing yard-wise. The one thing I would be worried about is their secondary and just overall defense. That's the one thing I'd be concerned about. Panicking to a certain extent.
Panic. All right, let's roll through these last few here. Cleveland Browns, panic or don't panic?
Panic. They stink.
Alec, panic or don't panic?
Same reason. They stink.
You're both panicking. Don't panic. They're the Cleveland Browns at the end of the day still. So, yeah. But that's why they should be in the panic, to be honest with you. But don't panic because they've looked good. I will say the Cleveland Browns have looked good in these 2 weeks. You push the Steelers to a tie, and you know if it wasn't for their kicker,
both weeks
they could be sitting here undefeated.
Yeah.
All right. So don't panic with the Browns. I can't believe I'm saying that.
They're not making the playoffs though.
I don't think they are, but still, it's the Browns. If they just get one win, that's an improvement, right? Statistically, that's an improvement from last season.
Okay, but Hugh Jackson probably needs 7 wins to keep his job.
You think so?
Yeah, after going 0-16.
What he has in his back pocket? Baker Mayfield. Because what he can say, and this is what I think is going to happen, if Tyrod Taylor is not working out through week 6 or 7 and people are on his back, he's going to say, all right, well, I haven't played Baker Mayfield yet. And that's can be his saving card. That's I really fair. Believe that. All right, just to roll through these, the Buffalo Bills are in the panic section as well. The Arizona Cardinals also, and our very own Brad Walker's Oakland Raiders are in the panic section. Those in the don't panic, the only team I have not yet to mention is the Detroit Lions. SI is not panicking over the Detroit Lions right now, even though they are 0-2. How about that? This is what they say. Quote, first-year head coaches aren't doing so great this year, including Matt Patricia, even though the Lions got their doors blown off last week against the Jets. They look much better this week in a close 30-27 loss to San Francisco. The Lions could fall into the below category if they, the below category meaning panic, in the panic category if they aren't competitive next week against the New England Patriots. So they're not panicking just yet, which is surprising to me, looking at how they've looked so far. Quickly, though, I know, do we have a caller? No, we don't. Okay. Oh, we do. Ray is on line one. Before I get to Ray, real quick, did you guys agree with LeGarrette Blount's hit that ejected him from the game? When Matthew Stafford got that late hit, I forget who hit Matthew Stafford on the sidelines, but there was some mixed reaction to that. Did you agree with LeGarrette Blount sticking up for Matthew Stafford and getting ejected in that game? Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. Standing up for his quarterback. The only part that's tough for me is LeGarrette Blount obviously wasn't on the field for that play, so technically he came off the bench to hit the guy, right. So he got ejected, so that was tough. But no, absolutely not. I don't have any issue with LeGarrette Blount standing up for his quarterback.
Alec, what about you? When you saw it, do you agree with LeGarrette Blount, or are you like, look, you got to be more disciplined there?
To a certain extent, you got to be contained, but the manner in which that the linebacker hit Stafford, I didn't agree with because Stafford had already signaled that he was going out of bounds, and he hit him kind of late. And LeGarrette Blount is not going to stand up for that. He's got to let his teammates know that he's standing up for them constantly, especially your quarterback.
This is a guy who's won 3 rings. He comes from a winning organization with the New England Patriots. He knows the kind of culture that should be in a winning ball club. I had no problem with it, especially with the way the game was going. The Lions had no spark at all. I'm not saying that caused a spark for them, but standing up for your quarterback, who, and again, it's debatable on that hit, whether or not it was a late hit or not, but LeGarrette Blount was stepping up for his teammate and sending a message to the rest of his team that, look, man, I mean, just imagine being a teammate of LeGarrette Blount, and you see that. You see LeGarrette Blount sticking up for your starting quarterback. You want to play next to LeGarrette Blount. That does something to you emotionally as a player. You can't sit there and say that it doesn't. I had no problem with it whatsoever, especially when looking at how this team has just played uninspired football for 80-90% of its outings in these first 2 weeks. All right? At the end of the day, I don't know what more you can say about the Lions. I'll be sitting here giving you the same rant I gave last week on Tuesday. This team is not good right now. And I don't know, from what we've seen right now, I don't know how the Lions are going to go out there and be competitive against the New England Patriots this weekend, on the road against the Cowboys, and at home against the Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers. This team, I think, is going to start the season 0-5.
And tomorrow, I really want to have a debate about Matt Patricia and whether or not firing Jim Caldwell was the right move for this team. I really wish I could have that debate right now on today's Current Sports, but we are short on time. Line one, let's go to Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
Go Lions! Beat those cheating Lion Patriots. And I was so happy, Tommy. You took another beating. You and Billy are just about done. You're just like the Lion cheating Michigan Wolverines down there, the bullies. You're just like they are.
Yeah.
They're just so happy to see Jacksonville run you all right off the field.
I tell you what, Ray, Blake Bortles, I got him on the bench in one of my fantasy football leagues, and I actually started Tom Brady. I had to choose. I mean, is it Tom Brady or Blake Bortles? No brainer, right? Blake Bortles is surprisingly playing some good football right now, Ray. He's impressive.
Yeah, he ran and passed. He had four touchdowns, only one. I don't know how they picked on him like that. He's played the Patriots twice now, and he's got like 9 touchdown passes and one interception.
Right. He had 377 yards. I know that's dead off the top of my head because I just sat there and said, man, I should have started you. So, yeah. But, yeah. Do you think the Lions have a realistic chance against Tom Brady and the Patriots this weekend?
They have to score a lot of points. Stafford can't wait till the third, fourth quarter. If he gets started right away, they can be had on defense.
Oh, stop, Ray. Stop. That's delusion.
Isn't that good this year? Wasn't good last
year. That's delusion. Do you think the Lions have a shot against the Patriots, Ray? Come on.
Hey, wait a minute. Stafford's got to throw for about 400 or 500 yards.
You think he's going to do that?
Touchdown passes.
From what we've seen so far from him, you think Matthew Stafford's going to do that?
Well, he played better against the 49ers, didn't he?
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, he overthrew guys left and right. And some of those passes, his receivers dropped the football as well. I want to give him some credit there. And the offensive line is still atrocious.
You can't wait till the fourth quarter.
You
can't have to play four quarters like Jacksonville did.
Yeah.
And I don't know. How good's your defense? Probably not very good, is it?
No, and then you have Darius Slay being out. No, the defense isn't that great. And now Darius Slay is questionable. He's going to go into concussion protocol. We'll see. Ray, I want you to call back as we get closer to that date this weekend. How's that sound?
All right. Well, I ain't giving up on miracles. Come on, Lions.
Ray, thank you so much, Ray. Always good chatting with you.
All right, buddy.
Oh, boy. Tomorrow, I want to have a wider look at the NFL picture. Patrick Mahomes, man. Gosh, is he good or what? I mean, Patrick Mahomes breaks the NFL record for most touchdown passes thrown by a rookie quarterback in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. He's just amazing. A few other points I want to make. We're just looking at the slate of football that we saw in the National Football League yesterday. Lions fans, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it every single week watching that team. Also, the Buffalo Bills had a player retire at halftime. I kid you not. An active player on the roster actually retire. That's how bad the Buffalo Bills are. We'll have a wider picture look at the NFL in week 2. That and more. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. And be easy, people.